We worship you, Father, in spirit and in truth, in honesty, in humility, in sincerity. We stand before your holy presence as we enter your word. We do not enter in with presumptuousness, but rather with reverence, fully conscious of the limitation of the natural human mind to deliver as well as to receive your infinite wisdom that has been compressed into the written word. We recognize our great need for help, supernatural help, in the form of fresh unction and anointing from heaven, so that I would speak as I should as an oracle of God. I further ask that you put the same unction and anointing upon all who will hear me, those who will hear physically, those who will hear me remotely, electronically, so that the word will flow freely from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in all of our hearts, including my own, to cause our wills to be more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We also pray that as I speak, the power of the Spirit of God will be released in sufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Yea, power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men, so that they will become doers of what they hear and not hearers only. I also pray for mercy to deliver the word with precision, to redeem the time and say only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of your word things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And all those in agreement, receiving all the blessings mentioned in their own individual life, agreed individually and said, we worship you in spirit. We worship you in truth. Make our lives.
Make our lives a holy praise.
This afternoon, I have a very important message. It is a prophetic, present truth, landmark message. And of course, I never tell my wife what I'm going to preach. You know, and she has actually touched on it in that exhortation that God gave her to share with us. It's going to amaze you. The message is entitled From Obed-Edom to Zion. From Obed-Edom to Zion. My wife mentioned this in the course of that exhortation, talking about knowing the times and the seasons and what Israel ought to do. First of all, go in your Bible to 2 Samuel chapter 6. And we're going to look at verses 9 through 12. Let's all settle down. I can see still people moving around, maybe going to the bathroom or going to give your offering at the back. Quickly round up with all of that and settle down. God bless you. 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verses 9 to 12 to start with. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 9 to 12. Mommy has already given the background. They were trying to bring the ark. She didn't say this, but it's important for me to say this. Can you imagine, for all of Saul's reign, and Saul reigned for about 40 years, there was no ark in Israel. How can you reign without the presence? And it did not occur to him to go and look for it and bring it. I don't want to digress, but it is true that there are many, many churches, many places where they congregate like we do here, they speak, but the presence is not there. We were somewhere recently, and, you know, some person shared something, you know, there was no presence on that message. My wife and I were commenting about it. There was no presence. You see, that's why I pray the way I pray. I don't just pray. It's not a religious prayer. It's a prayer. It's an honest prayer. I beseech God. I ask for mercy and fresh. Underline the word fresh. Because I had anointing last week. But today is not last week. I have to ask. Every time I come to minister, I have to have fresh. So David understood the vital importance of the presence of God. So he now made arrangements to try and bring the ark back to Jerusalem. At that time, there was no temple. Before, they used to have the tabernacle. But long ago, the tabernacle had been destroyed. Because you remember, it was just animal skins. So, you know, wear and tear, the curtains, all those things had disappeared. You know, they had decayed from the time of Moses. You know, you're looking at how many hundreds of years later. So, in fact, by the time of Joshua, you know, and some of the early elders, and throughout the time of the judges, there was no there was no temple. So there was a place called Shiloh where they used to meet, and they would, you know, do animal sacrifices and all of that, you know. But there was no temple, and the tabernacle had deteriorated. They had a makeshift thing that they were using, you know. This was even right up the time of Samuel, before Saul became king. So by the time of Samuel, you had Eli. Eli was the high priest. You know the story. You know, Eli's sons were misbehaving all over the whole place. And God got them killed by the Philistines. And then the ark was carried away by the Philistines. And it was in the land of Philistines for many years. Anyway, so David, when David now became king, he now said, look, we need to get the ark back. So he goes and makes arrangements to bring the ark. But like Mommy rightly said, he didn't. Now, this is a big problem for all of us. It's a lesson we must learn. Even when you know the Bible. See, you see, I know the Bible in my head. I know what the Bible says in many places. But when I'm faced with a particular situation, I have to go and open the Bible again. Like she was saying, even for prayer. Find a scripture that is alive in your heart at that time. Ignite it. For the entrance of His word giveth light. It is when it is fresh and alive in your heart at that time, you can then pray in faith. So David ought to have consulted with the Levites and the priests and people like his friend Nathan and Gad and others. Say, look, they would have got the consent. In the multitude of counselors, they want the safety. But he was presumptuous. All of us fall into that mistake. Oh, you know, I want to bring the ark. Okay, fine. Oh, how can we get it? Oh, the Philistines' cart. All right, put it on the cart and bring it. And we know what happened. You know, a man was killed. Ahio? Was it? Uzzah. He tried to touch the ark and he was killed. So David was afraid. So that's where this scripture opens. And David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, how can the ark of the Lord ever come to me? In other words, any little mistake, people would all be dying. So he was afraid. And so David would not remove the ark. I didn't hear you. Unto him into the city of David. But David carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And the ark of the Lord, I didn't hear you, continued in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. In other words, during those 3 months, nobody in Obed-Edom's house died. Nobody died in Obed-Edom's house. In fact, the Obed-Edom's house was prospering. So God, David now saw that there's nothing to be afraid of. If I bring the ark, it's going to bring blessing. And verse 12, and it was told King David, I didn't hear you, saying, the Lord had blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God. So, when David heard that report, the original fear was removed from his heart. As one woman was talking about, perfect love casteth out fear. But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. So if you keep the word of God, it will cause the fear to be cast out of your heart. So he went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. Now let's stop there temporarily, and let me give you the prophetic background of this message. What does the name Obed-Edom mean? Now, in order to understand this, you have to understand the word Obed. And mommy touched on that again about Ruth and Orpah. The boy that Ruth gave birth to, you know, the son of Boaz and Obed, and Ruth was Obed. The word Obed just means serving. So, Obed-Edom means the servant of Edom. Now, we all know, if you know your Bible properly, this is an example of what I was preaching about, which is called hidden manna. You have to understand, you can't just read the thing, you know. You have to know this, what the symbolic meaning of these things are. So, Obed-Edom is talking about the servant of Edom. Edom are the descendants of Esau. Esau was the person that despised his birthright, who wanted immediate gratification. So, Obed-Edom is a servant of the flesh. Now, in the story of what happened, you see, these stories are real historical facts that happened. But inside it is a prophetic message, which is the message I am bringing to you. When we get born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, the ark of God is already inside us. The ark is just the presence of God, the glory of God. It's inside the heart of every Christian. But so long as you are serving the flesh, obey Dedom. The ark will be there, but it will be blocked by the flesh, so the glory will not come out, and nobody sees it. Are you listening to me? So, David, historically now, David wanted to bring, you know, the ark. He wanted to bring it to Zion. He wanted to bring it to the, you know, to the city of David, which is called Zion. Now, what does Zion mean prophetically and symbolically? Zion is symbolically speaks of the perfect church. Give me Psalm 50 verse 2. Psalm 50 verse 2. We're going to come back to this story in a minute. Out of Zion. Everybody say out of Zion. The perfection of beauty. That's why we call Zion the perfect church. God had what? Shined. He couldn't shine out of Obed-Edom, but he can shine out of Zion. Because the Zion church would have gotten rid of the sin nature in the soul and in the flesh. So the ark that is already there can shine forth. But if the Christian is still in Obed-Edom, because he's serving the flesh, the ark is there but is blocked. The light is darkness. So this prophetic message is to teach you how you move from Obed-Edom to Zion. All of us start in Obed-Edom. You get born again through the Holy Spirit, you know, great. But the flesh is there. So you've got to do something about your flesh so that you can make the transition from Obed-Edom to Zion. Now, Mommy also mentioned this. And this is the problem that David had. And all of us have the same problem sometimes. And that's why we need to learn from the example of David so we don't keep making the same mistake. You need to seek God to know what Israel ought to do. Now, let's go to 1 Chronicles. Same story, but it is recorded with some other details in 1 Chronicles. In 1 Chronicles chapter 15, and let's begin to look from verse 2. 1 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 2, it tells us this same story in a different way. He says, and David said, none ought. See, this after the mistake. After Uzzah had died. He was now, may we not learn from mistakes. May we learn from instruction. You know, you can learn two ways. You can learn from instruction. And you can learn from, you know, affliction. Thank you. You got it. Trust me, it's nicer to learn from instruction. You don't have to wait until you're afflicted before this. The way to carry the ark was already in the Bible before they started the journey. They didn't have to learn by affliction. They could have learned by instruction. There are so many Christians today who are having to learn many things by affliction because they are disobedient to instruction. They won't listen to the instruction of the man of God. You know, my wife was sharing with us now about, you know, praying early in the morning, all that kind of thing. You know, if you would just take the instruction she gave you this morning and you start, come good morning and pray 1 hour in the spirit properly, not just, you know, this, what I call Mickey Mouse praying. Hello. When you, with the word and the life of God and you remit the sins and all that, you will be transformed. You don't have to wait until the devil hits you here, hits you there, then you finally, you know, go and, what you could have done and avoided a lot of things. Now, let me just say this, you know, along the way. The fact that you're praying and you're doing all the right things does not mean you will not be afflicted. Let me correct that. Backtrack. It does not mean you will not be attacked. I prefer that word. You know, it does not mean the enemy will not come in. But because you are praying and you're doing the right things, you will have the spiritual power to push it back. So the affliction will be short-lived and it will produce minimal collateral damage. Whereas, if you are not praying, the affliction will overcome you. What Papa Ralph taught us many years ago, 3 men in a storm. You choose which man you want to be. Jonah was overcome by the storm. Paul endured the storm. Jesus overcame the storm. So why don't you decide, I'm going to be like Jesus? I don't have to be like Jonah. The storm does not have to overcome me. Now it can. If I don't pray, if I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Or like Paul prayed and fasted. You know, they endured the storm. The storm didn't kill him, but they lost the ship. But in Jesus' case, they didn't lose anything. But in all the 3 cases, the same storm came. The storm will come. Nobody can pray a prayer for you that you will not see storm again in your life in Jesus' name. It's a false prayer. That person who prays that kind of prayer doesn't know his Bible. The storm was so bad. I'm talking about in Jesus' case. It was so bad, the boat was filled with water and it was already sinking. So it wasn't as if they were in mortal danger. That was why they began to shout and wake him and say, carest not thou that we bear our atinkulo. We are dying. This boat is already sinking. And sometimes in our lives, when the enemy attacks like that, it will look as if you're already sinking. It will look as if the boat is going to, you know, but wake the Jesus in you up. You know, Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory. In many of us, Jesus is sleeping. Wake him up! Wake the Jesus in you up. He says, awake thou that sleepest. Wake him up and pray. And when the Jesus in you awakes and he speaks to the soul, peace be still. Hallelujah. You will overcome the storm with minimal or no collateral damage. Aside, Ms. Jara, praise the Lord. Yeah, I just got another tweet from heaven. Do you know that if they had listened to Paul, they would have had no collateral damage? Wisdom. You know what happened, honey? Paul said, I perceive that this journey will, you know, bring danger to us and to the ship. Loss of life and loss of the ship. The Bible says that the guys, the people, they listened to the Roman soldiers, because he was under captivity. They listened more to the captain of the ship. Had they listened to Paul, and this happens to all of us in our lives, let us learn to listen to the prophetic. And you know what? Let me say another thing. Paul didn't say, thus saith the Lord. He said, I perceive. Learn to trust the discernment and perception of spiritually developed people. They don't have to say, thus saith the Lord, before it's thus saith the Lord. Paul said it many times in his letters, at least two or three times. He said, this is not God talking. He said, it is me, but I have received mercy of the Lord to be faithful. And God stamped it as scripture. He said, I perceive. You know what would have happened? They would have just waited one or 2 days. The storm would have passed before they got there. And they would have got to Rome fine, no loss of ship. Why go through storms you can avoid? By simply listening to prophetic and apostolic instruction. That's just free of charge for some people. Are you listening to me? So three men in a storm. So you can choose to be like Jesus, where you overcome the storm. We cannot say the storm will not come. It will come. But God will give you wisdom sometimes how to avoid it. Sometimes you go through it and you overcome it, you know. But God will give you wisdom. That is why prayer is so important. When you're going through a difficult time, instead of worrying, like my wife has shared with us, pray! There's a modus operandi I always operate in whenever I'm faced with a difficulty or a problem and all that. You know, it's in two places. It's in Romans 12:12, and it's also in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In Romans 12:12, this is how it says it. It says, rejoicing in hope. It says, rejoicing in hope. Now, let's keep it contextual. In the hope of your victory over the situation. Then, patience in tribulation, continuous stand in prayer. What does that mean? It just means, patience just means consistency. In other words, through this problem, I'm going to pray through it. In 1 Thessalonians, you know what it says? It says, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. It's the same instruction. He just said it in a different way. Rejoice. You're rejoicing in hope. So, no matter what is happening, nothing dims my hope that I'm going to get over this thing. Then what do I do? Pray without ceasing. And then as I'm praying, I'm giving thanks to God for a victory I've not yet seen. And it will come. Are you listening to me? So, we have the situation where David, all of us make that mistake. He didn't go and check what the Bible said. He knew it. But you know, sometimes your memory is so... Of course, David knew the Bible. You know, but he didn't go and check. So they did not go and seek God after due order. They could have avoided this Philistine cart and the death of Uzziah. They could have avoided it simply by... So the lesson to you and I is, let's always go and check what the Bible said. Not what you think the Bible said. Not what you remember the Bible said, but what the Bible actually said. So that's why you need to open your Bible afresh. Read it afresh. Don't try and just quote it from memory. Because you can, and it may be accurate, but sometimes when you see it afresh, you might even see something you didn't see before. But that happens to me all the time. I'm a pastor. I've been a pastor for 40 years. Most scriptures, I already know them. When God gives me a message, I already know the scripture. I know the scripture. I know the scripture. I know it. But you know what I do? All the time. I still did it yesterday. I still did it this morning. Even though I know all the scriptures and all of that, I open my Bible. I read it afresh. And then I had insight I didn't have before, even though I knew those scriptures. So, none ought to carry the ark, I didn't hear you, of God, but the Levites. For them the Lord hath chosen to carry the ark of God and to minister unto him forever. Now, so he after the affliction, after learning by affliction, instead of learning by instruction, he now went to get the ark. Now let's jump to verse 13. There's a lot in here, and there's no time to read everything. You know, it's even unnecessary. First Chronicles, Lord have mercy. First Chronicles, there we go. And we're in verse chapter 15, and let's look at verses 13. Now, he was now talking to the Levites. He said, "For because you did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after the what? Due order." Turn to your neighbor and say, there's an order in God's word. You can't just do what you like, how you like, when you like. You've got to find out what the word of God says. Let me give an example. I've taught this, you know, here in church. And you practice it in good morning. We practice in good morning Jesus, you know. And I just want to put us to remember. Go and look at Ephesians chapter 6. There is an order there. Let me give you a 1 minute synopsis of the book of Ephesians. Chapters 1, 2, and 3 is Revelation. Spirit of Wisdom and Revelation, chapter 2, where, you know, seated with Christ in heavenly places, the church, you know, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, chapter 3, you know, to be filled with all the fullness of God. After he gives you all of that, which is very high stuff, you know, things in the heavenlies and all of that, he now comes to practical things. Chapter 4 and 5 are practical. Don't lie, don't steal, you know, neither give place to the devil, you know, forgive, all these things, okay? Husband, love your wives, you know, servants, be obedient to your parents, children, be obedient to your parents, servants, serve your master. He gives practical instructions. Then, chapter 6. It's all order. You know what chapter 6 is? He's going to tell you now how to do everything he has said. If you try and do any of those things that you in chapter 4 and chapter 5, as well as chapters 1, 2, and 3, you're not going to be able to do them without the instruction of chapter 6. It says, finally, brethren, take unto you the whole armor of God, meaning that you can take it partially. Otherwise, the Holy Spirit would not have used the word whole. And by revelation, we now know that that's all of the fruit of the Spirit, because God is love. So, love, joy, peace. In other words, I need to take all of those things daily. That's why we gave you that prayer, you know, that filled me with more love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, and patience. You must say all of them daily. Don't take half the armor. I was sharing with somebody recently. I said there is one fruit of the Spirit that is very underdeveloped in many, many Christians. You must learn to develop. It's called long suffering. Nobody likes that fruit. How many messages have you heard on long suffering? Me, I no go suffer. That song is not totally accurate. It's true that God doesn't want us to suffer ultimately, you know. But if you don't learn long suffering, you will not be able to go through some things in life. And you will not be able to inherit the kingdom. Because it's through much tribulation. And going through much tribulation requires the development of the fruit of long suffering. Perseverance, you know, to be able to be uncomfortable for a long time to overcome whatever it is. I prefer the old English long-suffering. Same thing, but you know, the long-suffering means I have to have the spiritual ability and strength to suffer inconvenience, to suffer self-denial for a long time before the will of God is done. Most Christians, the Yoruba call it ifarada. Most Christians don't have it. Any little thing, any little inconvenience, you know, for, you know, some protracted amount of time, you find they get offended. They get angry. You know, if you don't have long suffering, there are many things you won't enter. Yours truly that you are looking at to the glory of God. I have to give an example from my life. You see, as I preach, God just gives me these tweets. You know, God had to break me. I was a young boy. I got first class. I went to England. You know, I went to Imperial College, all of that. You know, and I came back, you know, and God took me in the ministry. I first of all worked with Brother Emiko. The other day we were driving through Agbo, went to see somebody. So as we were driving, I was not telling my wife. I said, you see that road there? You know, I said, that's the road I used to walk through. Because I was living in water resources. So I will walk through, you know, and I will go and buy pepper and tomato and all that. So I now showed her the place I used to grind the. I said, maybe a new people are doing the business now. I said, you know, this is where I used to come and grind the pepper. I wasn't telling the drivers in the car. I said, you know, it didn't go on for 2 weeks or for years. Even after I left Brother Emiko and we're living in the other place where we started Scripture Pasture, I still for a long time, I would have to go to the market myself. I have to do all of those things. And there's a person who I was not used to doing that. And it was not particularly pleasant. Long suffering. But it changed me. It broke my pride. It made me more appreciative of other people who didn't have the privileges in life I had. It changed me. The fruit of the Spirit will change you. Mommy talked about this today. Change your name. From champion warrior to champion warrior. You know, but seriously, change you to somebody who can suffer long. So sometimes, you know, when I'm in the airport now, or sometimes there's a delay, people get there. It doesn't disturb me. Because by the grace and the mercy of God, I have developed the fruit of long suffering. I can wait. I can stand on the same spot for an hour, 2 hours. People say, my leg is fading. People will be complaining. I just, my wife knows. I'll just be praying in spirit. I'll just be praying in spirit. I'm still developing it. I'm not, you know, perfect yet, you know, but I've developed and I'm still developing this fruit of patience, long suffering, endurance, gentleness. When they talk to you, God bless you, sir. You know, I'm sorry, please, we're trying to understand what we're talking about, you know, and I find that a soft answer turns away wrath. Whereas, if you don't have that fruit in you, you're already agitated. Do you know who I am? My name is Pastor Olubi Johnson. I know the governor. I know the president. How can you dare keep me waiting in this place? I will show you who I am in this Nigeria. There was a time I was like that too. Yes. Immediately, I'll call somebody I know. Come and deal with these boys. That's not the fruit of the Spirit. That's pride. Chill. Calm down. Thank you. Calm down. You know you will gain more when you win people by the fruit than when you bring the big stick. Recently we were traveling, you know, and, you know, they have to do all this fingerprint and all of these things, you know, now, you know, and they keep you, you know, in the queue and all of that. You know, my wife and I were just like, you know, obedient and everything. So the customs, the immigration people who who are passing us, you know, and they say, oh, you have to do this, you have to take this off and all that. I say, yes, sir, you're doing your job. But my wife was telling them, I said, oh, I'm so happy you guys are doing your job and all that. You know what? They said, oh, God, just go, 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 go. Go, go. It's better than trying to call Babangida or Buhari. It's faster. You know what we did? We called God. Through the fruit of the Spirit, you called God on the situation. And when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even the enemy of the carnal mind to be at peace with him. Yes. Develop the fruit of the Spirit. All this grah, 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 grah is because we don't know God properly yet. Take it easy. Take it easy. Take it easy. Humble yourself. Learn to say yes, sir, to everybody. The guy in the toilet that is cleaning the toilet seats, that's cleaning the toilet in the airport this last time, you know, and I needed something, you know, I said, God bless you. I said, you guys are doing this place is nice and clean. He said, but this one, he said, okay, I'll go and get it for you. Immediately. Immediately. I didn't give him a cobble to go and get it. But after he gave it, I gave him something. But he didn't do it because I was going to give him something. Just be appreciated. He felt appreciated. Say good things to people. Even when they are your servants or your drivers. My wife is always commending our drivers. When we travel, and we're coming from Lagos to Ibadan, something like that, at the beginning, say, Oga Solomon, Ekusheo, Inspector Joshua, thank you, God bless you. Then we get halfway, she say, well done, oh, well done. Then we get to Ibadan. She will say it at least 3 or 4 times. So I will now say, God bless you, God bless you. The people feel appreciated. They're not serving you again just for money. They're serving because they now genuinely love you. Because you show them kindness. It's all the fruit of the Spirit. Why is it too big for your mouth to say, to thank your driver? And your house boy, and your house girl, or the people who are working for you. It's every month someone. He's just using you as the channel. For those who don't understand Yoruba, I said that it is God who is actually paying the people through you as the channel. Don't get high and lifted up because God can remove you as a channel tomorrow. These are things we need to. So, you put on the whole armor of God. Then, look at the sequence. Then he describes the armor using the Roman soldier and all of that, the breastplate of righteousness. But all of it, summarize, fruit of the Spirit. That's the truth. God gave it my revelation some years ago when I was preaching from Isaiah 59, you know, and all of that. But don't let me get off into that. You know, then the next thing is take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Then the third one is praying always all prayer and supplication in spirit. You can't jump to number 3 without doing number 1 and 2. It's out of order. That is why the praying in the spirit of many people is not as effective as it should be. Because the armor is not in place and there is no sword of the spirit. The sword of the spirit gives you, Dr. Williams. The sword of the spirit gives you 2 things. It gives you Zoe. Through this exceeding grace and promise, you become partakers of the divine nature. Then what Mom was talking about gives you the legal basis. So it gives you the confidence that when I pray, this thing is going to be answered because it's based on God's word. My praying in the spirit I can't pray with boldness in the spirit if my armor is not in place and I don't have my sword in my hand. That's just an example. Seeking him after due order. So I can't just jump and you find what's going on. Oh, karama, karabarabara. No ammo. No sword. Who can speak in tongues? And then he's shooting what in the military called short loads. God gave me a vision many years ago. was very, very, in 1981, went somewhere, we're praying, and, you know, was, I think it was University of Ife. It was one of the CSSM meetings or something. You know, and God just, it was in the middle of the night, we're doing all night prayer. You know, I would pray for Nigeria, pray for this, pray for that, bind the strong man, blah, blah, blah. We would just pray, you know, and God just opened my eyes. He said, they're shooting short loads. Now, if you're not a World War II military guy, you won't understand what that means, but God knew I understood. You see, when you want to shoot with an anti-aircraft gun, if you want to shoot a plane, you know, the plane, the trajectory of your missile must be high enough to must be high enough to hit the altitude at which the plane is. So if the plane is flying at 30,000 feet and your gun and your missile is an 88 millimeter shell whose range is 10,000 meters, is not going to touch that plane. In the military, they call it short load. In honor of the load that is gets short of the target. You see, they're shooting short load. God opened my eyes, the spirit realm. Many of the prayer, it just went up and can't come down. Never touched the principalities in the heavenly place because their altitude was too high. But when you put on your whole armor, you clean with the blood, you load with the word, you take the sword of the spirit, and you load, and then you fire it in the right directory, it goes to that altitude, hits that principality, and brings him down. Give a Lord a clap offering. Shoot properly! That's why I never rush into prayer. I make sure I put my armor on. I clean. But then when I start, I know it's going to be effective. And another person knows it. His name is the devil. So he tries to distract you. Let me tell you something. You know, Satan is more afraid of you than you are of him. You know the honest truth? He's not really afraid of you. He's afraid of the Spirit of God and the angels of God that operate through your prayers. Well, he's terrified. That's why the Bible says he will flee. The Amplified Bible says flee as in terror. God is the real terror, not the devil. When God is on the scene, Satan is really frightened. So he can't fight God. He can't fight the angels. The angels of God are stronger than his own angels. And they are outnumbered. It's 2/3 to 1/3 that we know of. And I'm sure that ratio is because God has been manufacturing angels since. So, what does he do? The only way he can succeed is to distract the channel. Once I can get the channel not to pray, the Spirit of God and the angels of God can't come on the scene. And I can win. It's a very, very effective strategy. So when you want to pray, he will make the phone ring. Then you will have headache. Your back will pain you. And then your daughter will call you with one problem. And this other person will do this, all of it distraction. So at the same time, what is he trying to do? He's trying to get the vessel not to be able to be a channel to which the Spirit of God can move. He doesn't care what you do. He doesn't. If you want to watch television, he will let you watch it. If you want to read a book, he will let you read it. If you want money, he will give it to you. Whatever, so long as you don't pray. Very effective strategy. That's why this good man Jesus thing is such a blessing, because it helps you to develop that discipline. No matter what is happening, make sure I get up at 5 o'clock, 4:30, 4:45. So I make sure that I'm on my mark. And then they start the prayer, they sanctify the altar, they clean with the blood, they remit the sin. All those things are very important. They put the armor in place. So when we start praying, we're not shooting short loads. Every missile hits a target. And Satan knows. That's why we need to develop this thing and practice and practice and practice so that it becomes your nature. So you get up early in the morning. In fact, whether anybody wakes you up or not, your eye will just open. Bam! 4:30, you know, 2:45, you know, 3:30, 4:15, bam, my wife has got up. No alarm bell. We don't use our phone. We don't put the phone and the phone doesn't ring. Mm-mm. Just get up. Please, you have to learn. So you start with using the alarm. Are you listening to me? But me, I don't use any alarm. I can sleep at 1 a.m. for my open. You know why? It's training. I am not special. I don't have two heads. You will be the same. You're even better than me. Why not? Okay. Let's get back to 1 Chronicles. Hallelujah. And David gathered all Israel together to Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the Lord unto his place which he had prepared for it. He went home and did his homework. He consulted with the Levites that it is you people who are going to carry the ark. Then he pitched a tent. See, the tabernacle had been destroyed because wear and tear over the years. So he did something similar. He just pitched a tent, but it didn't have outer court, holy place, didn't have all of that. All that furniture, all of it had deteriorated over the years. So he just had just one tent and a table where they'll put the ark. Finish. It's called Mount Zion. Hallelujah. Just Zion. And put it on the mountain of Zion. Now, I haven't been to Jerusalem. Only we are going to that Israel. This year, in Jesus' mighty name. We'll see how the Lord leads us. In Jesus' mighty name, Paribu. But seriously, we've even met somebody who will help us. You know, I was discussing with someone. One of my friends said, look, I know somebody. He said, on the next school trip, children, you're going to Israel. Life for children, next school trip, Israel. In Jesus' name. I'm going to see where Jesus lived. That's a good place to go, man. Amen. Now, I haven't been, but I have read from people who have been. Mount Zion is still there. It is such that when David pitched the tent, everybody from around Jerusalem, because it was on elevation, you can see it. And I am reliably informed that because of the glory, you see, it was the ark. I'm getting ahead of myself. After they brought the ark and they placed it in Mount Zion, wherever you were in Israel, Jerusalem, not Israel, wherever you were in Jerusalem, you could look up. And you know what you're going to see? Light. In those days, they didn't have electricity like we have today. But because of the Shekinah glory, you know, you could see the light shining out of the tent. So when people had problems, sickness, disease, all kinds of problems, they will start approaching Mount Zion. Before they get there, the problem is solved. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God has shined. Am I helping anybody here? Now, let's jump to verse 15. Let's jump to verse 15. It says, and the children of the Levites, I didn't hear you, bear the ark of God upon their shoulders. This is very important. Well, I'm going to show you the New Testament equivalent in a few minutes. What is what we are doing now. Don't play with this prayer thing that mommy shared with us. Don't play. That's why it was such a good preamble before this message. It was actually God who arranged it. Don't play with it. He said the Levites, they put the ark with staves upon their shoulders as, I didn't hear you, Moses commanded according to the word of Moses of the Lord. Thank you. There was an order. You don't carry the ark anyhow. Only the Levites and the priests could carry the ark. If you are from another tribe, you can't carry the ark. You try, it kill you. Only the Levites And a stave is a rod. So they put the rod inside. The Ark of the Covenant had four rings. So you put the rod inside the rings. So they're now, these people will be in front, two in front like this, two at the back, and the Ark will be in the middle on the staves. Is it clear? It's wonderful stuff. That was the way they were supposed to carry it. And they tried it with the Philistines' ark. Now, jump to verse 25. 1 Chronicles 15. See, here we have a little bit more detail than we had in in 2 Samuel. We're going to go back to 2 Samuel in just a minute. In 1 Chronicles chapter 15, verses 25-26, it tells us, So David and the elders of Israel and the captains over thousands went up to bring the ark of the Lord, the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the house of what? Obed-Edom. With joy. Now remember, in the New Testament, the ark, the presence of God has been in the church, but the majority of the church is Obed-Edom, serving the flesh. So it's there. So we now have to transit. We now have to move the ark from Obed-Edom to Zion. Verse 26. And it came to pass, when God helped, say you need God's help, the Levites that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, that they what? Offered seven bullocks and rams. That's what it says in 1 Chronicles. But we have to now go back to 2 Samuel. That's why you need the whole counsel of God to see the detail. Let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 6 verse 13. The scripture I've quoted many times, you know, about prayer and all of that. Second Samuel chapter 6 verse 13, not 14. And it was so, watch this, that when they bear the ark, when they that bear the ark of the Lord had gone what? 6 paces, they what? Sacrificed. So from the house of Obed-Edom up to Zion, every 6 paces, sacrifice. Every 6 paces, sacrifice. Every 6 paces, sacrifice. Every 6 paces, sacrifice. What does that speak to us today? Prayer. Today we have spiritual sacrifices, not physical sacrifices. That is why every 6 hours you pray. Every 6 hours you pray. Every 6 hours you pray. So we say, what do you pray? Very simple. Government. The kingdom. You enforce the kingdom of God, watch this, upon your soul, your body, your circumstances, and your regional heavenlies. So you say, Father, I confess my sins, in Jesus' name I have life. Lord, have mercy on me as I pray. I enforce the kingdom of God, righteousness, peace, and joy. By the power of the Holy Spirit upon my soul, upon my body, upon my circumstances, upon my regional heavens, during the next 6 hours. Dare any principality to try and operate in that air where you are there. Then you pray in tongues. Maybe for just about a minute or so, you know, 2 minutes, because you would have done some background praying. Every 6 paces, sacrifice. Same thing in the New Testament. He says, you know, Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7, say you talk of them when you sleep, when you get up, when you walk by the way, when you sit in your house, 4 times. You see it again. It's repeated in the scripture. In the New Testament, Jesus talking about watching and pray. He said you should do it, you know, at noon, you know, in the morning, in the evening, you know, and at sunset, 4 times. Every 6 paces, you sacrifice. Every 6 paces, you sacrifice. When we start doing that, with praying in travail and praying in the Spirit in the background, what we're doing is that we are moving the ark from Obed-Edom to Zion. Now, let me share something with us, and I'm going to close. I've written a lot of stuff here, and I'm just going to try and compress it as best as I can. Very good. Now, shoulder. Everybody say shoulder. Shoulder. Say it again. Say it again. Where is the government? Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. It says, and the government. What is government? Kingdom. The dominion of God is what? On his shoulder. So you see, the priests and the Levites that are carrying the ark must be people who are enforcing God's government. Like I taught you in that prayer just now. That's why the shoulder is very, very significant. Now I want to tell you something else. Let me, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Now watch this. He says, I said, how? You enforce the kingdom every 6 hours to take the glory from Obed-Edom to Zion by, now this is crucial. And that's why what we're doing with Good Morning Jesus and following up with your own individual prayer lives. And when you now synergize, I'm going to show you a wisdom God has just shared with me, you know, on this. When we now synergize, everybody say synergy. Synergy. Turn to your neighbor and say, do you know what synergy means? It means synthesizing energy. You know what synthesizing means? Putting together. See, when we talk about a synergy, if you have, let me explain using numerical terms. See, if mommy is producing 10, Laulu is producing 6, Sister Rhoda is producing 7, you know, so 10 plus 6 is 16, 16 plus 7 is 23. Okay? If you add them together, what you get is 23, ordinarily. But when you have a synergy, you don't get 23. You get something that is far greater than when you add all of them together. Because of that law, one will put 1,000 to flight, two will put 10,000 to flight. You don't get a synergy. That's the thing about the synergy. It takes the power that each individual spirit is releasing and then synergizes them under the power of the Holy Spirit to produce an amplified whole that each individual could not produce alone. And it's not just an arithmetic addition. It's a geometrical addition. A geometrical multiplication. Now, let me tell you what's going on in the realm of the Spirit. Let's go back to Jesus and his apostles. The Lord Jesus Christ was one person who had grown by the age of 30 to maturity. He had the Spirit without measure upon him. But they had to take that presence to all of Israel. Jesus did his bit by going to Galilee and many of the cities, but he couldn't do it all. So he had to call, firstly, 12 apostles, and he took some of the anointing that was upon him, and he put it on the 12 of them. And now they now went in twos to different places. Some of the places they went, Jesus never got there. It was not necessary, because Jesus had already given them the anointing, and these are the words he said, powerful words. He says he called his 12 apostles, watch this, and he gave them power, dunamis. He gave them power to cast out devils. And you know what he said? He said, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you received, freely give. And it worked. Watch this. To blow your mind and to encourage you, even with Judas. There's no record that Judas's anointing didn't work. It worked. Even with Judas, that anointing, we call it a borrowed anointing or a shared anointing that he shared with them, was effective. They came back with a good report. So you know what they did effectively in the New Testament now, using this Old Testament as a typology? They took the glory, the ark that was on Jesus, on the shoulder of those 12 apostles, and they took it around Israel. They took the glory round. Hallelujah. They took the ark, so to speak, you know, the glory of God. Then, after he extended to the 70, there was even a person who was not even in their group, but who had the right heart and plugged into it. And he cast out devils. He did great miracles. And John said, he's not with us. Jesus said, leave him alone. If he's not against us, he's for us. Then he said, the reason why he could do it, this Olubi Johnson paraphrase. The reason why I can do it is that he doesn't think evil of me. He said, because nobody can speak evil of me and do a miracle. Because his heart would have blocked the anointing. So let's look at this arithmetic. It's so simple, but I want to bring out a great spiritual truth out of it. So you've got four priests carrying the ark. Jesus in the measure of the stature of the fullness. None of those people were in the measure of the stature of fullness yet. They were all babies. In fact, Jesus called them little children. He said, Father, it's pleased you to reveal this thing to babies. But if you combine four babies together and you stack them on top of one another, spiritually speaking, and synergize them, they will form the same height as Jesus. So you had Jesus, you got four here, you got four here, you go four. How many is that? 12. And they carried the government of God. They carried the dominion of God throughout all Israel. That's something we're going to be doing now. As we grow spiritually, and some of us break into the fullness of Christ, God will take the shared anointing. And then he will put it on individuals. You don't have to be, you know, perfect yet, you know, but you have to be walking. See, those guys were walking in the truth. Then he will synergize them together, and then we collectively will now carry the glory to all of Nigeria. Carry the glory to all of Africa. Carry the glory to Europe. Carry the glory to North America. Carry the glory to South America. Carry the glory to India. Carry the glory to China. Carry the glory to Russia. No borders can stop us. There might be Christians who are not even here in Nigeria. They can be in Russia. And they take of the borrowed anointing. And they will take the same ark on their shoulders. And they will carry that glory to every tribe, every tongue, and every kindred in their nations. This is God's plan. I'm unveiling it. Now, I got to close. 2 or 3 scriptures and I'm done. Thank you, Jesus. The first one is the one we're very familiar with. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 30. 1 put 1,000 to flight, 2 put 10,000. Everybody is familiar with that scripture. But you know, that's not the only scripture. And you say, because of this lack of understanding, we don't appreciate what God is actually doing on a practical level. Do you know that if it was actually so, by now the whole of Nigeria should be upside down? But I'm going to show you something, and then I'm going to give you a lot of hope. See, how should, everybody read with me, how should 1 chase 1,000 and 2 put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them. Now, go to Joshua chapter 23, verse 10. Joshua chapter 23, verse 10. One man of you shall do what? Chase 1,000. That's the basis for Deuteronomy chapter 32. Is this clear? Now, it is the people that have the capacity to chase 1,000 that if you take the two of them together, that will chase 10,000. It is not everybody that has the capacity to chase 1,000. But don't worry. At whatever level you are, God knows how many of you he needs to synthesize together to get his 1,000. See, it might be 3, 4, 5 people that he will put together and get 1,000. Then he will take that as a unit, as 1,000. Then join it to another person who has the capacity of 1,000. Then the two of you together will do 10,000. That's why we call it synergy. Look at Leviticus chapter 26. And look at verse 7 and 8, I believe it is. Leviticus 26, and I think it's verse 7 or verse 8. Go to verse 8. Good, that's it. Now, look at this. It's different from Deuteronomy 30. He's showing you that at different levels of spiritual development, different people have different capacities. Watch this. And 5 of you shall chase 100. It means each of them is chasing about 20. But don't worry. Do you understand? And 100 of you will put 10,000 to flight. Before, it was 2 that could put 10,000 to flight. So, what God is telling us is this, as I close. It does not matter what level of spiritual development you are. If you will hook in, do you understand? God will synergize you with other saints and collectively together. Do you understand? You will form that stature of Christ and carry the glory. That's why we have it as a borrowed anointing. And anybody can partake of this move. As I speak now, that's why it's a present truth, prophetic landmark message. God is preparing saints. That's why what mommy shared with us, it was actually on the money. You know, it was spot on. You know, the good morning Jesus is a platform for you to develop, to train yourself. Because you see, when you develop that, then God knows I can rely on this one. This is one of the ones I can rely. Now I'm going to put 5 of them together and they're going to chase 100. Then I'm going to put so many of them together and they're going to chase 10,000. So what God is doing now, he's going through the body. And he's selecting people. This one is faithful. This one is, you know, depend, you know, irrespective of how spiritual, how much capacity they have. That's not the important thing. The important thing now is the faithfulness. So this one is faithful. I'm going to put these 10 together because they are faithful. I'm going to put these 20 together because they are faithful. I'm going to put these 30 of them together. And when I join the 20, the 30, and on, and I put all of them together, they will form the fullness of Christ. And they will carry the glory. And they will take the ark from Obed-Edom to Zion. Stand to your feet. Don't miss out on what God is doing, though. I don't care whether you are born again yesterday. I don't care your level of your present level of spiritual development. Get faithful. Start putting out what you can put out, and God will synergize it. Hallelujah. So when the glory comes, watch this. You will be a part of the company that is carrying the ark. It was not everybody who carried the ark in the day of Jesus. It was Jesus, the 12, and the 70, and some others. And the one that we know of, I'm sure he's not the only one. He said, Pastor, how do you know that? Because I know Gideon's army. It was 300 in companies of 100. This one that is coming, God wants as many people as possible. God is not whosoever. God wants as many saints as possible to carry the glory. And you can be a part of it by following these simple instructions out of due order. Pray. Get up early in the morning. Learn this art of getting up early in the morning and praying and discipline yourself. Clean with the blood. Put on your whole armor. Take the sword of the Spirit and be praying in the Spirit. And your spirit will develop, your mind will develop, your body will develop, and then with that, as you're faithful in whatever capacity your spirit man is, God will now synergize you with other saints. And you will join the company that is carrying the glory from Obed-Edom. Instead of serving Edom, we're now going to shine out of Zion. Let's talk to God. Let's talk to God. Start today. If you have not been doing it, and if you've been doing it, continue and increase. So you could be accounted worthy. You see, it all comes back to what Jesus said. He said, watch and pray always. Then you will be accounted worthy. He was talking about the rapture, but in the context in which we're talking, to carry the glory. It's not every Christian who's going to carry the glory. It's only those that are part of that company. That will form that four corporate man company that will carry the glory. They will carry the ark and they will carry it anywhere. Just like those only 100 men carried the glory to the whole of Israel. And by the time we got to the Acts of the Apostles, that same borrowed anointing was still around. You know, people like Paul and others, you know, if we count all of them, you know, maybe there were a few thousand. And they took the glory to every nook and corner of the Roman Empire and turned it upside down. They that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. Become a carrier of the glory. Talk to God. Thank you, Jesus. That's what we're going for. The government will be on his shoulder. This dominion of God is on the shoulder of the Levites that will carry the ark. Hallelujah.
Let my life be the temple of your spirit. Let my spirit fill the warmth of your embrace.
Ah, hallelujah.
Let me be a holy habitation. Your spirit is pleased to dwell.
Let my heart
be the temple of your warmth of your embrace.
Hallelujah, glory to God.
Let me be a holy habitation where your spirit is pleased to dwell. Oh Lord, I long to know where your spirit is pleased to dwell.
Shared, this is a present truth prophetic message. I have given you the Old Testament shadow, and I have shown you the New Testament substance as exemplified by the Lord Jesus Christ, His 12 apostles, firstly, later the 70, and others later on in the Acts of the Apostles. It wasn't everybody who was an apostle, it wasn't everybody who was the 12. But they had people who were carrying the glory with them. The Bible says, and they went everywhere, preaching the gospel. It says, and signs and wonders were following them. Good news. We're going to pray in a minute. I want you to pray for yourself as an individual. Anybody can carry the glory. If Judas could carry it, anybody can carry it. See, God is a very kind person. He's a very loving and accommodating person. If Judas could carry the glory. And you know what mommy shared today? Oh God. Mommy, God bless you. You know, she talked about remission of sin. No charge. All that time, Judas was stealing. Jesus was remitting. But he hardened his heart to the point where he now went. They didn't come to meet him. It was him who went to meet them. And sold him for 30 pieces of silver. Then he passed the point of no return. But the good news is, let's stay on the start of the good news. The good news is that even with your infirmities, you can carry the glory. If you will be honest, confess your sin, stay under covering, allow the thing to be remitted, you can carry the glory. All of us have different bandwidths. I taught this the other day about joints. Joints and parts of the body of Christ. There's a third thing. Bands, thank you. Joints, parts, and bands of the body of Christ. We all don't have the same bandwidth. Don't worry. Your bandwidth will grow. And you can see the scripture is consistent. You can see from the scriptures I showed you in Deuteronomy, in Joshua, and in Leviticus, that there were different bandwidths for the Israelites. Amen. Corresponding to what the Bible says, captains over tens, captains over fifties, captains over hundreds, and captains over thousands. It is the captains over thousands that when you join the two of them together, you get 10,000. So if you don't have a 10,000, you now join some of the other smaller ones, you put them together to when they can form 1,000, then you can have one group of 1,000, another group of 1,000, another group of 1,000, another group of 1,000, and then when you now put all the 1,000 together, you're going to get an explosion. So everybody can be a part. Everybody who will join the company of the Levites and put the government upon their shoulder and sacrifice once every 6 hours. Sacrifice once every 6 hours. Sacrifice. God will join what they are giving out, put it together in the spirit, synergize it, and bring the glory. The glory is imminent, folks. When I say imminent, I'm talking about a month. I don't know the day or the hour. But I know the times and the seasons. And the son of Issachar is very close. May we not just be participators. May we not just be spectators. May we not just be onlookers. That's why this message came today. Firstly, Mommy's Own, about the vital importance of prayer, of remission of sin, of prayer, as a prayer habit. And this is the key. People who don't pray won't carry the glory. It's not going to happen. It's not discrimination. It's standard. Because you have that as a standard that has to be reached. Once standard is reached, then you can carry the glory. Just like Judas. You know, it was even after the glory that Peter misbehaved and denied Christ. You know, your infirmities will not disqualify you from the glory if you're a part of the corporate company. The corporate anointing will remove, it will remit your sin and create a path for the glory of God. He says it's like the anointing from the head, and it will go down the entire body. But only for those who will get under the covering and open their hearts and carry. Jesus said something very important. I said it earlier, but I'm going to reiterate it as we pray. He said, no man can do a miracle in my name and speak evil of me. You cannot speak evil of leadership and carry the glory. You cannot have offense and carry the glory. That's why in Nazareth, he could do no mighty work there. Spirit without measure could do nothing. He said, and they were offended at him. So that's why Jesus said, that guy, if he's doing miracles, he must be doing something right. He said, it can't happen if his heart isn't right. Anybody with a right heart who would do what I've taught you now will carry the glory. Let us pray. Touch your heart. Raise your hand. Anybody. So you are a potential candidate of the glory. We're going to pray now. I'm going to lead you in a prayer, but I want you to pray individually. Say, God, now I understand. I'm going to be a part of that corporate, four-man corporate fullness of Christ that is going to take the glory. Well, first of all, it's going to take it to the church. First, Jerusalem. Then Judea. Then Samaria. Then the uttermost parts of the earth. People are going to see miracles they haven't seen since the time of Jesus. It's coming. People are going to see, they're going to see the water turn to wine. They're going to see people walk on water. They're going to see lepers cleansed instantly. Instant creative miracles. Creation of limbs. Withered hands will grow out in front of everybody. That's the glory. It's talking about manifestation of the power of God that is people can see. Women with the issue of blood will dry up immediately. New wombs will be formed instantly. New fallopian tubes. Instant. That's what's coming, folks. That's apart from the ability of the mind of Christ. The glory is all encompassing. It's got to say double glory. It's going to be a glory of physical miracles and a glory of intellectual miracles, and you will partake of both. Don't waste yourself. Don't seclude yourself by wrong attitude, speaking evil of those in authority like Jesus. He said, no man can do a miracle in my name and speak evil of me soon afterwards. If he keeps speaking evil, he will lose it. Now, one last thing I must say. As you pray, and then I will pray for you, and we'll all pray together. It's a borrowed anointing, it's not your own. Because you haven't yet grown to the fullness of Christ. So be careful with it. It can be taken away. What does that mean? Don't get all upset. Just honesty, humility, you know, forgiveness, and you'll be fine. But arrogance, pride, will lose. Even if you had it, Judas lost it. He had it, then he lost it. Demas was one of the people who followed Paul. He had it, and then he lost it. See, it wasn't Paul alone. That's why if you look at the epistles, you see that Paul said, we apostles, plural. Paul, Silvanus, and Timotheus. Silas and Timothy were as much apostles as Paul, and carried the same glory. Borrowed from Paul, but they carried it. You can carry it. You don't even have to know me or any leader. You don't have to. Like, that man did not know Jesus. He did not know John. And he was carrying the glory. All he did was that he was carrying the. He was part of the company that was putting the ark on their shoulder and sacrificing. And the glory worked for him. Now let's talk to God. Check all those boxes. Tick them now. Right attitude towards leadership. Because you're not grown yet to be able to inherit it by yourself. So you have to be a part of the corporate company that's going to carry it. Remitting your sins. What the order I gave you from Ephesians chapter 6. Put on the whole armor of God. Every day. Take the sword of the Spirit that will give you life. And then give you the promise of God. Then pray in the Spirit. And then be consistent. Once every 6 hours, enforce government. The government shall be on the shoulder. Enforce the kingdom in your life. Once every 6 hours, enforce the kingdom in your life. Once every 6 hours, enforce, and you are on the road to the glory. See, we're still in the house. We're still in between the house of Obed-Edom and Zion. But we're going to get to Zion very soon. And out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God will shine. Now talk to God. Father, we come in Jesus' name. Say, God, help me. I want you to talk individually. I don't just want us to... Yeah, I'm going to pray in a minute. But individually, I've told you everything to pray. You know, in your own words, just say, God, I want to be a part of this. And by your mercy and grace, help me to do, you know, keep a right attitude. Help me to humble myself. Help me to be consistent in prayer. Help me to get this training. Help me to be a part of the company that is carrying the ark. Even in the time of Jesus, even though Jesus was the one who inherited the Spirit without measure, the others carried it along with him. The 12 carried it, the 70 carried it. You can carry it. Doesn't matter where you are, doesn't matter your level, whether you're one of the people who just five of you chase 100, it's still okay. Different bands, captains over tens, captains over 50s, captains over hundreds, and captains over thousands. You grow in your bandwidth. But all the time while you're growing, you can be carrying the glory. Thank you, Jesus. Now let's pray. Say, Father, we confess our sins. So we clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. Father, I repent of any wrong attitude I have had or have towards spiritual oversight and leadership. I repent of any offense. So that my heart can be open to receive and carry your glory in this day of the manifestation of your double glory in the church. I ask for mercy and grace to daily put on the whole armor of God. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is your word, to receive divine life. Being a partaker of the divine nature. And to have a legal basis for prayer. And then to pray in the Spirit consistently with all kinds of prayer. Once every 6 hours to enforce the kingdom of God upon my soul, mind, will and emotions. Upon my physical body. Upon my circumstances. And upon my regional heavenlies. So that your government will reign wherever I step in the name of Jesus. Help me to be consistent in this and so to be a partaker of the glory of God that is coming to your church. To be one of those that will carry the glory in our nation, Nigeria, in this continent of Africa, and all the other continents of the world. Wherever you send me, Lord, with this glory I will go. For you said in your word, after the glory, I will send you unto the nations. In Jesus' name. Nekatoshka Fredekla. Lopridika tofrenengask. Zofridia. Rimetoloma shaliki koko fredesk. Mercy. La priya karotoske fredesk. Mercy, Lord. Jeleke koko koma tolomito fredesk. Lombridiask. Tolomoshto fredesk. Mercy, Lord. La pridika tolomoshala kakakoma tolomotolomoto fredesk. Mercy, Lord. Labrika tolomosha. Lambrodofredesko. Lambrodofredes. Tolomotolomoshtofredes. Tolomotofredes. Tolomanger tolomotolomoshara. Tolomotofredike tolomres. Tolomotofredes tofres. Tolomoshtofredes. Dongirios. Gelio. Tofredes. Dorkof tofredes. Tofredengask. In Jesus' name. See, brethren, I want to greatly encourage you. There is no reason why anybody who is in this church, who has been listening to things that we've been sharing these last many years, you know, even if you just came recently, like a year or two ago, it doesn't matter. Or even if it's just very, very recent, it doesn't matter. And if you will practice these things, there is no reason why you will not be a partaker of the glory of God. There is no reason whatsoever. And God needs as many hands as possible. The laborers are few, the harvest is plenty. There are places I will not be able to go to. There are places Jesus couldn't go to, but he had his disciples send them. There are villages I can't go to. There are places you and I would never be able to go to. You know, but I'm talking about offering. I just remember what my wife said. And I want to use this to really encourage you folks. This is the real thing. I mean, all the other things are real, but what I mean is that this is the weightier matter of the law. Put the government on your shoulder. Jesus said in the law, we say, seek ye first the kingdom. Put kingdom, put the government on your shoulder. And watch how all other things will be added unto you. Stop worrying about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, what you're going to drink. When you have the government, when you have the glory on your shoulder, the glory will provide. Do you know that in Jesus' ministry, Jesus proved this? He called, when he did the 12 first, he said, the Bible said he called them, he said, he gave them specific instructions. He said, don't take anything. He said, don't take anything. Don't take any money. Don't take any wallets. Don't take any. Just take your rod. He said, wherever you go. He said, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. And then when they came back, he said, did you lack anything? Where the glory is, there can be no lack. I got another tweet. Even in the house of Obededo. What do you think has been blessing you even though you are in Obededo? It's the presence of God. Even there you have been blessed. But you won't be. Obededo was blessed, but he wasn't blessed like David was blessed later. It shows you how good God is. Even the house of Obededo was blessed by the presence. Glory be to God. I said glory be to God. Any Christian can partake of the glory if they will watch and pray. Sacrifice every due order. You can't just do it anyhow. Every 6 hours you sacrifice. Every 6 hours you sacrifice. Every 6 hours you sacrifice. Armor of God, sword of the Spirit, praying in spirit. It's already been laid out. You do it, you carry the glory. You don't do it, you don't carry the glory. It's really as simple as that. And of course, with the right attitude. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. It's raining money. My wife said, we'll be known as people of prayer. We're not going to be known as people of prosperity and people of glory. There are those people, they have prosperity, but they use it for the glory of God. Be different. Let us share the grace and fellowship. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of His countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live and you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy you and show you His salvation, even the perfection, the fullness of Christ. The Lord imparts unto you the anointings of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us, now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Tell neighbor, say, you are a partaker of the glory.